Blog Talk Radio.
Where are you going?
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. And we got Larry on his mountaintop, and there's a lot of different kind of news going on. And I want to start, I think, tonight with Larry. He had a vision, and Darnette had a vision as well, his wife. And if he would like to enlighten us on that. And then we got some other visions, all of which are very, very frightening to the average person. If you're in Christ, they aren't, because we knew all of this was coming. And it's not a surprise at all. But to the people out there who are not paying attention, I guess one could say this is going to be a huge surprise. And I guess my one comment before we get going is, remember what it says, sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. It comes out of the blue. There's no warning if you're not watching. And we are at a phase in time right now where I believe the rapture could be imminent. I know for a fact that the destruction of the United States is the first domino to fall is imminent, whether that means a huge false flag, like some sort of a nuclear device going off, or whether this is the event that's coming to the border. But this has all been prearranged by the global deep state to take America down. It's not by accident that you got all these people coming up. They're being bused, they're being fed, they're being housed, they're being given money and credit cards, and Trump is setting up these big tent cities. So here we are. And I think no matter what happens on the election, my take, Larry and I are going to talk about this, we lose. So it could be a huge red wave. Look out. It's a deception. And it's going to turn into something very, very ugly as we go through, if we go through another year. We may not even go through another year. I'm a firm believer of the pre-trib or at-trib or slightly into the trib rapture, because the church has nothing to do with Israel, and all of this latter-day stuff is to do with thy people and thy holy city. And so the church really is not mentioned after Revelation chapter 3, which closes down the church age, and a portal or a door is opened up, and the command come up hither is made. So I believe that that's what this is all about, and there are a lot of proofs coming out now, and a lot of people coming on and warning that the next few days, even up through the election, are going to be very surprising. I guess one could call it interesting days. What do you think, Larry?
Oh, I totally agree. And by the way, you had asked me about armor moving south, and I had verified through some photographs Hal Turner provided, and there are others out there of not only tanks, but also artillery that is being railroaded south. And so there's bigger plans than even the border. It's we got something big on the horizon, and I just worry that the American people are clueless.
That's an understatement. They're comatose.
Thank you.
You know, that's I've never seen anything like it, even amongst the church. Now, among the remnant, you've got those out there that are really paying attention and preparing themselves. But for the most part, no. Nothing. Totally comatose. Mad upon their idols, just like Jeremiah prophesied against the people of America. They are mad upon their idols. The only thing they think about. I have a good Christian lady friend who worked at a, I don't know exactly what you'd call them, but they fabricate different things. And all she would say is that they were consumed, totally consumed, basically, with what was coming at the weekend or that night. You know, some game or whatever it was that they were consumed with. And that's all they talked about, totally in this world, I guess is my point. And that's just a microcosm of all across the United States. These people are just consumed with worldly things. And very, very soon, I got a feeling this world is about to change. Anyway, you had a vision, and to me, it was kind of scary for the people that are, how do we say, not with the Lord right now. Would you care to share that?
Well, I can. Darnette's not here at the moment, but she also had a dream the very night after I had mine, an incredible, vivid dream. And she dreamed, and she can do it on your show later, but she dreamed of an invasion of America and blackbirds. And if you'll remember the blackbird vision, that was Dmitri Dudeman before he passed away. He had a dream of an invasion of America involving the blackbird, something like the helicopter and the blackbirds, et cetera. I don't remember it real well. And I won't go into that. That was extremely scary. But in her dream was also, she used the terminology, people were being shredded. And I found that interesting. I hope I didn't influence her, but the night before is the one I'll share now. And by the way, I sent you another copy again of my God's Prehistoric Rapture, the most unresponsive post I've ever made, I guess. Stan Dale and you were the only ones ever made a comment. Two people. But anyway, I guess you only need two witnesses, right?
That's right.
Anyway, the reason I brought that up is if you'll remember in God's Prehistoric Rapture, and I caught a lot of flack for that, actually, and nobody wants to hear it today, so I won't tell it. But there was the question was, what happened to the people that love the Lord at that time? And I'm not going to go into that, but it kind of focuses. We had a lot of storms here. I'd been kind of offline. I've had trouble with my satellite. You know all about that. And so I had time to pray because I couldn't do anything else. And I prayed the night before Darnette's dream, and I had an incredible dream. And I'm only going to speak on some high points here. I'm not going to really tell the dream. I'm still praying about some of the data in the dream, but when I get through, I'd appreciate any comments you want to make. It's very controversial. I imagine I'm talking into the wind. I expect all the words I say telling this dream to be blown away. I don't really expect hardly anybody at all, except maybe a small remnant of people, to even be concerned about it or even believe what I'm saying. But I'm very serious about it. I had this dream, and it was so inclusive. When it began, it was about 2 or 3 in the morning, and I had a little bit of the dream. I woke up. I went back into the dream. Got up and made notes. I prayed, went back into the dream, and went into another portion of the dream, and I was in another place in the world, and it just continued. It continued till 5 in the morning, and I had to keep getting up making notes. I tried to tell Darnette, but I couldn't wake her up. I knew she wouldn't remember one word I said, and so I had to get up there occasionally and go to another room and write down some notes and then go back to sleep. And this dream went on for hours almost, but here it is, okay? I'm not going to share the dream, but I'm going to say on my first list of notes, I was in a very dark time. It was dark outside, and the dream was very long, and I struggled. Me and others were trying to find places to hide and to we were moving about in darkness. Now, it wasn't a total blackness, you know, but it was a great blackness because the dark stayed dark, whether it was supposed daytime or nighttime, it stayed dark anyway. It was just dark. And what's interesting is in this dream, there was a lot of people that were literally being shredded by some type of creatures that I could not see. They were in the darkness, and they were just literally slicing people, and it was horrific. And as I finally struggled to another location, and there I saw a lot of people that I believe were people that had passed on, and they were all standing there appearing kind of like ghosts, but non-threatening at all. And they all held up their hands to me, and on their hands was a question mark. And the reason I say question mark is because I saw a sign in a few minutes in the dream, and on that was also a question mark, which indicates to me possibly, I'm not interpreting it, I'm saying there is either two timelines, and we'll go down one or we'll go the other, or the new timeline may not take us to where this dream exposes what it does, but we'll just have to talk about that. But, you know, after I saw these people that were, they seemed to be witnesses, or they were watching from the darkness, you know, and of course it wasn't dark on their side. Where they were watching from was okay. It was the darkness on my side where I was. And suddenly, Stuart, I saw a big sign, like a big road sign, appear in front of me. And it just stood there, high and strong, made out of what appeared to be metal. And the odd thing is, the sign was solid red with white lettering on it. It had white words. And I read those words, and I actually woke myself up repeating those words. I heard myself, and I woke up looking at the sign, saying the words that was on the sign, and it said, "Replace 90% of the church." And on that wording appeared a large question mark. And so, you know, to me that was very disconcerting, you know, because I know everybody thinks they're okay. And so how would you warn everybody that thinks they're okay that there are possibilities that this may not work out like they expected? But anyway, I won't go into that. Then suddenly, I went right back into my dream after I got up and went in and wrote down the wording on the sign. I came back and laid down, went right back into my dream. I saw the sign still there saying the same words, had the question mark on it. And suddenly there was a window. Like I felt like suddenly I was I was near the Middle East, somewhere around the Middle East. I couldn't tell. And it was dark there, too. And it was like a window opened in the darkness, really like a giant window. And in this window, I saw a massive angel. He was really big. I mean, he was big. And across the angel itself, it was the word Israel was written across this mighty angel. And he was looking down. Yeah, he was looking down, Stuart, and I had this knowing. I was standing there in this darkness and screams and horror going on all around me, and I had this, I discerned his countenance, and this mighty angel was incredibly angry. You know, I could literally feel anger coming off of him, and I knew right then and right there I was toast, if you will. Nothing could withstand this anger. And so what's interesting, I know this sounds crazy, but this is what happened in the dream. I didn't choose to run. I didn't choose to hide. I didn't choose to try to find something to fight with or defend myself with. Stuart, I laid down on the ground under the window where this angel was standing and looking down on me and whatever else was down there around me. And that great anger, you could feel it, you could see it, you could taste it. It was there. Now, whether this is God's wrath, I don't know. But what I'm saying is this angel that has Israel written across it was incredibly angry, and I knew that I had no recourse of any kind. I laid down on the ground, which is weird to me because I'm a defensive kind of guy. I laid literally down on the ground like I was just going to lay face down on the ground, and I told that angel, I said, just go ahead and kill me. Just literally, go ahead and slay me. I said, because, you know, we're all mankind. We're dead anyway. We all deserve to die. I told that angel that. And surprisingly, Stuart, that angel did nothing to me. I was spared. The angel did absolutely nothing to me. I couldn't believe it. And I stood back up, and I woke up, and I went into my little room, and I made some more notes so I wouldn't wake up my wife. And I come back, and Stuart, I laid back down on the bed, went back to sleep, and I went immediately into another dream. I was in the United States. And in that setting, there was a big meeting going on. And as I went, I actually entered the building and went into that meeting. There was a lot of security and Secret Service, et cetera, et cetera. And in that meeting, it appeared to be Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. And the real person in the room that drew me was Benjamin Netanyahu. He was sitting at a table. He was surrounded by his security, and he was looking right at me. And I looked down, and my hand stirred, and I had something that appeared like, it looked like an ancient time clock, if you will. It was a device. It wasn't like a clock we make today. It was a clock very different than I've ever seen before. It had hands on it. It was kind of round. But it also was built in a different shape than just totally round, and it was very important. And I carried that clock very slowly up an aisle and stood before Benjamin Netanyahu, and I said, I called him Bibi, because that's the name I know of him as. That's a personal name, and I used that term, and I said, I have brought you this. I am here to remind you of this. I brought it for you and Israel, and I started to hand him that clock. I put out both hands to hand it to him, and I told him, I said, this is, and I'm supposed to remind you, Phoebe, that this is Israel's time clock device, a time clock device. Now, you asked me, you know, what time it was on the clock. I did see the face of it. I remember seeing hands, but I cannot remember the exact hour. Suddenly that faded, and I woke up, and I went in there, and I wrote down about Israel's time clock device that I had to give Bibi in a private meeting, you know, in a large meeting, but in a private meeting between me and him. I handed that to him and reminded him of something, and I don't remember what I reminded him of other than Israel and its time. And so anyway, then I went back into the dream, and that's when I began to see more and more creatures arriving in this massive darkness that surrounded everyone, and I wasn't hurt. I seemed to, you know, nothing threatened me other than, you know, I felt the anger around me, I felt the attacks, and I heard people being shredded and killed, and let's just say, Stuart, when I woke from that dream, it was rather dramatic. I couldn't believe I had a dream such as that. What do you think?
Well, it sounds to me like you're in that kind of, I don't know if you could call it the 3 days of darkness, but, you know, the gross darkness covers the people. We got CERN operating, opening up doors. If you read the prophecies of that darkness period, they say that there are entities out there that will kill anybody that's out there. And it may be symbolic of the coming horrific persecution of the Christians that are left behind. You can argue theology all people want. What's interesting to me is the giant angel, that's got to be Michael, who stands for the prince of who stands for Israel. So that was Michael looking down, and obviously he's extremely angry at what's going on, not only in Israel but around the world. And you're laying down before him is indicative of the fact that you acknowledge we're a fallen creature. The world does not want to acknowledge they're fallen. Even the Christians basically won't even acknowledge it. I don't know what they think. I mean, I've watched, the apostasy away from the actual truth and what Jesus actually taught compared to this modern junk that they're preaching in the churches today. And I believe that's probably another reason why Michael would show such great anger. The Lord says, it's not my will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And the fact that you gave BB a clock just simply confirms what you and I have known for a long time, that Israel is the time clock for the whole world, but it's also a time clock for Israel. Maybe it's a reminder. They claim he reads his Bible daily. Now, whether he understands a lot of it, I don't know. But Israel has to go under the time of Jacob's trouble. And I think we're at that verge. I think what's going on with the borders, the threats that China has made and that Putin have made, that we are preparing for nuclear war, we're getting ready. How many more signs do people need? We have had sign after sign after sign after sign, and it's like people are oblivious to it, and the Christians mock it. They've been mocking it right along. You get emails from time to time, oh, you're nuts, you're just crazy. Well, no, I'm not. The Lord has given many, many a vision to people warning us to get ready. And I take that entire vision of yours. This is it. We're entering in. Now, what's interesting to me is that the eighth day of Tabernacles is today and tomorrow, November 2nd and November 3rd. And then, of course, we go into November 4th, which is a 4-11. And how much more time we have? Do we go in for another year? Or are we going to be removed at the last of the Jubilee? And I guess people can argue, we'll know. when this thing goes down, I was listening to this guy by the name of Ken. I can't think of his last name. But he had a vision, and it's just fascinating to listen to him, where he said he saw the graves of the dead opening up, and it was like sudden destruction. It was out of the blue. There was no warning at all that this was going to take place. And he said it was a very explosive and very violent event, which is, of course, what rapture actually means. It's a violent removal. And he said that you saw the people rising up out of the grave, and then they would vanish. And then he ran into a pastor. He said, I don't know anything about any of this stuff at the point that this vision took place for him. He didn't know anything about the Bible at all, and never paid much attention to it. I guess he was kind of a rebellious type guy. And he runs into this pastor, and the pastor says, I just wasn't ready. And the people have gone. Jesus has taken his people, and I wasn't ready. And so I'm here. And great gifts were then poured out upon the remaining remnant to prophesy and heal and all of that, because God really is merciful. But he has an end to his patience. And that's probably one of the things you were seeing with Michael. Very angry. Well, there's an end to the patience. It's like any human being, you run out of patience after a while. And I think that's probably what it was. You had a vision, I believe, of what's coming. Tribulation period, time of huge, horrific darkness, violence, and supernatural arrival. I think you had a vision of that's included in there, the arrival. and the fallen ones and how they take control of Earth. Yeah, this is, it's imminent. And I believe the first domino is what we're watching on the border. Anyway, I rambled on enough. What do you think? Was that an explanation or no?
No, that's a pretty good explanation. I think it's you gave some pretty credible thoughts there. And, of course, an experience like that, it's very hard to interpret it. So that's why I really just touched lightly on the events as they went. And, everybody will have their own idea if they even care to think about it. But let me tell you, it impacted me mightily. And then I told my wife about it, and that's when the next night, she went into her dream and was given basically the dream of an invasion of this country and the blackbirds, et cetera, et cetera. And so anyway, I'll let her tell that when she's home sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time she's in and we're having, there's been a number of visions. This Lois Vogel Sharp, she says the coming holiday season will be so vastly different. When the fallen ones and the hordes of hell are unleashed upon the earth, well, Thanksgiving is one of our big holidays, and I'm warning everybody to be very, very alert from now through probably all the way through Thanksgiving. But the special dates are 11/3 tomorrow, 11/4, 11/11, and then possibly in somewhere in that area. We will know what's going on, and we will know whether Trump is a traitor or what's going on. And there's something very, very strange going on with these caravans, these military, and it's a military invasion disguised as something else. But I think it's the grand finale of Jeremiah's filling our America with fifth column military operations who are going to destroy us. They have been coming in, by the way, for years and years. Many, many times ago, and many moons ago, we got in touch with, a nurse got in touch with us. She was a nun. And she said that she was along the border. And I guess some of these guys actually showed maps of where they were supposed to integrate into the various towns and cities. And when the call came, they were to rise up. Very, very strange things going on at the hands of Homeland Security, FEMA camps, NDAA, and all of that sort of thing. I think the American people are being betrayed, but they're sitting here twiddling their thumbs, not paying any attention to what's going on around them, and it's going to be hell to pay for it, let alone what the Lord's going to do to them because they rejected Jesus Christ. And that includes a good share of the Christians, which is, I want to get into that one too, 90% replace the church. That's basically termination. Termination of the church because of apostasy. You've got preachers, teachers, evangelists, and prophetic scholars out there that are lying through their teeth about salvation, and even half of them probably don't even know who America is, and they are not preparing the people for what's coming. My Lord, everybody listening, you better get some water, you better get some food, you better get some armaments, and take care of yourselves and your families. This is not a joke. We are at the very, very edge of trouble. We're coming up, and I think tomorrow is actually, or the 4th, is actually the end of the Jubilee. Period. Well, who knows? They argue this back and forth. The Book of Enoch says our timing is off. We know it's off by at least a month this year. And that pushed all the feast days, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, all the way in through the beginning of November, the last of the tabernacles. It's very, very interesting that on the 8th day, or the last day, the great day that Jesus made the comment about, come to me. All you that are heavy laden, come to me. I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. He announced who he was. He revealed himself on that day. Very, very important stuff. And hopefully people are paying a little bit of attention. Anyway, here's something, Brother Bob's update to Al Kuppert this morning, tent cities. If the United States of America constructs temporary housing for the mobile mob invasion force, it will become America's Gaza. And by the way, I heard something about they were massing again on Gaza. Did you find anything about that, Larry?
Well, I'll tell you what I did find. I didn't find anything about Gaza, but there's, you know, we know that trouble's just ongoing. But listen to this headline now. Now, this is for Debka File, and most of the time, pretty accurate stuff. It's usually ahead of everybody else, but it's always pretty much proved out. Listen to this headline. It's a major military movements up the other side of Syria. It says huge Iraqi troop deployment on the Syrian border. Two Iraqi army brigades, possibly up to 10,000 troops, redeployed to the Syrian border. Pro-Iranian militia groups deployed 20,000-plus fighters to the Iraqi-Syrian border. Soleimani presents the U.S. and Israel with a major dilemma because of the now new Iraqi-Iranian-Syrian land corridor for Iran to Israel, to the Mediterranean. What do you think, Stuart?
Well, we're going to war. It's either going to be Daniel 8, 11, or it's going to be, Isaiah chapter 17 and 18 in that area. And we're on the verge. I can't believe it's possible. Obviously, the Lord can raise up his hand and say, no, not yet. But everything is falling into place, and it's falling into place so rapidly. And with all the visions and dreams that people are having about all of this, I think it proves that we are right on the, you know, right on the edge. And it can happen any day now. And sudden destruction. We could be attacked. Who knows? I mean, it does say in Ezekiel and Jeremiah that we are attacked at a point when no one would believe we were going to be attacked. In other words, it didn't appear that we had enemies that were going to attack us, and they were not only preparing, they were already. And so we could get nailed either this year, next year, who knows. But anyway, he says in this one, America's Gaza, with all of its inherent issues, dangers, Antifa fountains, just like those in the Middle East. An economic deal breaker for the invaders and the American annual budget. Look at what it would cost us if Trump does what he says he's going to do. How much millions of dollars to feed them, even if they're in these 10 FEMA cities, whatever you want to call them. Then he says hurricanes, tornadoes, soaking rains, freezing rains will provide natural cover for escapees. So they will spread out, of course. And, you know, we had those warnings, right, of the people down along the border, look out, because we're not going to be able to essentially take care of you. You're on your own, pretty much, is what they said. And I saw you sent me a thing called a big quake. Pretty sure we will have a big quake in the three-day window. I wanted to get into this. Earthquakes, 1028 to 1029, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 quakes that were over 5. Then on the 1030 to 1031, 11. 12 quakes. That's amazing that you have 21 quakes in 4 days. Have you heard of any major quakes since?
Yeah, we had the large one in Chile and the large one off the Kuril Islands. And also, yeah, I don't know if you read it, you might want to mention the tsunami warning buoy alert.
Yeah.
Gone out in the Caribbean.
I wonder what that was about. That was
weird. I'll tell you what it says. It says tsunami warning buoy alerting in the Caribbean. It says sudden 35-meter sea depth change. Tsunami warning buoy in an event mode warning with sudden 35-meter depth change. Says the alert was 240 nautical miles southwest of San Juan, Puerto Rico. And what brought that to mind, Stuart, remember about the time right after the Indonesian earthquake, remember our submarine
yes.
run into a mountain that wasn't supposed to be under the ocean?
Yes, I do remember that. Weird. You still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking, too, you know, remember what Stan Deo said, we better really be watchful when we start having stuff around the Gulf of Mexico, and we've been having that. We've been
yes,
having
we have.
A lot of activity down that way.
Okay, and those last 4 days I was talking about, before November 1st, 14 new volcanic eruptions. This is the Lord
wow.
warning everybody. 21 earthquakes, 14 volcanic eruptions, 777, 14 is 7 plus 7. Folks, these things are really, really, we're being warned. Now, I want to get to a prophecy here. In fact, two of them, and I know Larry knows about them, but I wanted to discuss these with Larry because it's about Obama. Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention to Obama lately, but the major media is really pushing him onto the people. They're really covering all this. Anyway, I received a prophetic dream revealing the future of the United States. I knew something very drastic, something major had happened prior to the U.S. presidential elections. And I knew the date was November 3rd, so this is before Trump was elected. The Lord did not reveal the year. I was inside a building watching a presidential event. There was extreme distress all around, outside and in front of the building. I do not recall seeing the American flag anywhere. I knew the whole event was being televised. Now she's into the future a little bit. And beginning on all channels. I was not part of the audience, but the Lord was showing me all that was taking a place as I observed from the left side of the room. President Trump and Vice President Pence were being replaced. I watched as they stepped down from the presidential podium. Then I saw Obama walk from behind a veil in slow motion, like he was being revealed. And he walked up to the podium, accompanied by a woman walking about 5 feet away, and it was not Michelle. It seemed to be a silhouette of Hillary Clinton. In the background, I heard a woman making an announcement, and I think the woman was talking about the scripture. In his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably, obtain the kingdom by flatteries, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. As Obama stepped onto the podium, I was focusing on him like a zoomed-in camera. I saw that he was dressed in black, had a V-neck attire around his neck. His eyes and his countenance were very dark and evil. He started making declarations with a very arrogant demeanor, tilting his head back, looking down at everyone with a gaze that said, "I'm here to finish what I started." his exaltation of himself was very pronounced. And I saw the audience as they were sitting very still in that place. No one was moving as they listened to Obama. They were all subdued, like they were brainwashed by his flattering words. And then it goes back into Daniel, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that which is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. As Obama started talking and making declarations, the dream went silent. At that moment, I dropped to my knees, crying out to the Lord, "No, no, no." I was not saying that because I was afraid, but because the Lord flooded me with understanding of how serious Obama's rise to power was. I had a knowing from the Lord right then and there that it was over for the nation, a sense of finality. And I can identify with that because I was taken to Washington long time ago and shown it was over. Just America was done. I knew our nation was going to be destroyed. I knew there was no going back. There was nothing that could be done to stop it. The time was here and now. That's really what I was told. It was over. We had been found wanting. We'd been weighed in the balance and found wanting. And that was many, many years ago that the Lord did that. Anyway, she says it seemed like it was more than just the next elections, because it was deeper and more impacting than a presidential election. As I fell to my knees, bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ, I looked up into the ceiling and noticed it didn't seem like a ceiling inside a presidential building. It was much too much like a temple dome, highly decorated with chiseled structure, ivory in color. At first, I couldn't understand why the ceiling looked like a temple dome, but I believe the Lord had me look up to see the precise details of the ceiling to show this was not a regular presidential structure. It was not a regular presidential event. What do you think, Larry?
Wow. As you was reading that about Obama, it reminded me of him walking in the room and you calling him Lucifer. I thought of that as you was reading that, and I'll tell you what, Stuart, matter of fact, I watched today mainstream media over and over and over played Obama running Trump down on television all day long and running against him basically in this campaign 2018.
Yeah, he's coming back, and he's coming back much, much faster than people realize. I've known that for a long, long time. I know a lot of people just poo-pooed it and mocked it and said that never happened. Well, it is going to happen. I don't know if everybody's listening heard the vision that I don't even tell people that it was a vision from the Lord. I have no idea, but it was very vivid. I was teaching biblical prophecy in this room, and in walked Obama. Big smile on his face, and walked over, and I said, "You know you're Lucifer, don't you?" And he said, "Yes, I know." And then the dream was over, so... I guess you can take it for whatever that means. This is how she interprets it, or he interprets it. It was so very real. I was there watching this major event that took place, which prepared the way for him to rise to power. I had the knowing that something major happened prior to this event that allowed Obama to take power again. I don't know whether it has to do with the 2020 elections, because the Lord did not reveal a year. I don't like to set dates. November 3 could have a spiritual connotation, as in the fall season, as in the great falling away, spoken in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. The people sitting down and waiting on him were gazing at Obama without speaking. The dream could also represent the unveiling and revealing of the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, spoken of in the book of Daniel, because Obama was hidden behind a veil until it was time for him to be revealed on the scene. Now, that's one of them. Here's another one that's a little shorter. There will come the time when he, Obama, is in power that he will not ask. He will command their allegiance. Earlier today, I happened upon the following written in my journal in 2012. Here's what I was told. Look at Daniel chapter 11. See now what I tell you that is to come. The man Obama asks now for the people to vote for him, but there will come the time when he is in power that he will not ask. He will command their allegiance. He will become powerful and oppressive in his own country. He will live to see it destroyed. Then he will take with him those in league with him and set himself up in the holy place. This will be the abomination that maketh desolate. Then shall the terrible time of trouble shall begin. You see, I've written in my word when shall come the tribulation. It is after the fall of Babylon. That's the beginning of the end. She said, Babylon will rise herself up to prevail and to rebuild, which is where we are now. This is what Trump is doing, only to be broken to pieces utterly. The time in which you are in is the beginning of troubles. So, what do you think, Larry? I mean, this is weird stuff.
Well, I tell you, it's getting weirder by the day. And by the way, before we run out of time, if you don't mind, would you share that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask you if you got it in front of you, that snake at the Temple Mount and the Western Wall, and what you think about maybe some of that.
Well, I don't know if everybody knows, but Israel's had a number of warnings. Let me put it that way. First, they had the Jews going up on the Temple Mount, and it was on the 70th year that they did that. First time in 70 years that they've ever ascended to the Temple Mount. Then one of their big blocks fell out of the wall where they do all their praying. And then a snake was found. Was it yesterday or today, Larry, that was found? I think it was yesterday, November 1st.
Yeah, it was reported in Israel yesterday, November the 1st.
Now, here's what's really, really interesting. Even the rabbis are saying, "Ooh, here, this is a major, major sign." Well, it is, of course. Antichrist could be known as a snake. Remember when the Lord doesn't care for snakes much? He's warning people, you know, the serpent. If you go to the Vatican and you take a look inside, it's a serpent's head. If you go to the outside and look down on it, it's a serpent's head. People are just not watching about what's going on. It's the Lord makes them do this so that people don't have any excuse. If they won't take a look at what's going on, that's their problem, and you can't really make them do it. But, the big thing was, I think, the video of it. You see this dove fly away. Now, what does that represent? I believe it represents the church and the Holy Ghost and Jesus himself coming to get his people. The dove flies away. You don't see anything on the wall. You just see this dove flying away. A couple seconds later, you see this snake emerge from where she was and rises its head up. What does that signify? The rising of Antichrist, the snake. I mean, I don't think anybody, if you're really watching and you know what's going on in the Christian world, of course, the Israelites, the rabbis are going to interpret this totally different. But that's my take on it. What do you think, Larry? What's your take on what happened?
Well, it's very interesting. As a matter of fact, Stuart, what is so interesting is the fact that we know what kind of snake it was even. And ironically, that type of snake in that region also loves to eat doves' eggs. If, you know, that may be a clue. It possibly was in there trying to eat the eggs of the dove. I don't really know. But here's what's interesting. The name of this snake in that region is called the coin snake, C-O-I-N, you know, like a penny or a nickel, a coin. And I thought of mammon or stock market, or maybe the world economy is about to fall, because what's interesting, the snake came out of the crack and fell down onto the same area the block fell on, and it did it also, Stuart. This is what's interesting. I thought of Eve and the serpent, because the snake fell out in front of the women that were there worshiping.
Yeah. I beheld Satan as lightning fall to the ground. Boy, if Israel needs a warning, they got it. I mean, they've had a number of warnings, and that to me is just a tremendous, warning about the coming of the Lord. I was watching a video today on YouTube. It's kind of interesting. All these people are getting all these visions over and over, and they're all coming basically to the same conclusion. One of them in which they said, well, the Lord is coming. Quickly, quickly. He's coming. Now. And I don't know if it was a vision or whatever, but nobody would pay any attention to it. No, he's not. You guys are crazy. He's not coming now. And this went on, I guess, for quite a while. So this is where we are. We are in an area of total denial within the church itself. Very few of them actually teach prophecy. And those that do really do not understand who the players are. They don't understand who America is. If people would read biblical prophecy and study it, they'd know who America was. And they know that this invasion that's been going on is exactly what Jeremiah said was going to happen to America. It's going to be invaded. And when that has, the ones that are already here are going to meet the ones that are upcoming. Oh, by the way, before we get done, Larry, what is going on in Venezuela?
Well,
that sounds like the communists, the Russians and the Chinese have basically taken it over.
Yeah, we're still getting reports of Navy off the Venezuelan coast. And also, there was a reported that China had landed some folks with a ship there. The intel that's coming out of Venezuela seems to indicate that there's a lot of ISIS or Al-Qaeda-like fighters in Venezuela now. Russians and Chinese, and a lot of forces, and it appears that this new Brazilian president that's somewhat like Trump has allied with Trump, and Brazil and Colombia are forming an army to come at Venezuela from one side, while possibly, now this is just surmising on my part, but if we're sending tanks and armor, including artillery south, we're not probably going to use that against caravans. We've probably got a bigger, pie to play. We could come down against Venezuela. We could have a big, major war down there. At the same time, Israel is being surrounded and thwarted on every side by Russia and the Iran and all its henchmen.
Yeah. This is bad. Folks, you need to pray for Trump. It doesn't matter whether you like him or hate him. We're ordered as Christians to pray for our leaders. Just pray that he comes to a knowledge of the truth, because that's the only thing that matters now, is salvation. There's nothing here on this planet worth living for anymore. This has been the message of the Lord Jesus Christ for years, ever since he started his ministry. To leave the world behind and get right with the Lord. I guess you hear that kind of comment all the time. But Now we hear that there's, what, five caravans coming?
Yeah.
Not just the two?
Five.
So this is a planned invasion,
right? And at the same time, Stuart, if you go to Drudge Headlines, he's got a brand new headline in red. It says the Pentagon has prepared a cyber attack against Russia and are close to implementing the plan. And what we're seeing, as Trump has tried to put off Putin and really work with Putin, the deep state has been adamant that they are going to start a war with Russia.
Well, Putin did say that he would consider that, as we have said, an act of war. We're going to go to war. I mean, there's no question. If you want to know when America is going to be attacked, and I can't say I'm absolutely correct on it, but I really believe that if you read Ezekiel 38 very closely, you'll find out when America is attacked. The enemies, whether it's Putin or who it is, Turkey, whoever, and the allies are going down upon Israel. It says that they will have, that Gog will have an evil thought. And he will say, let's go up to the land of unwalled villages, to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them. Most people claim that that's Israel. It can't be Israel. It's impossible it's Israel, because Israel is already invaded. If you're going to invade, you don't suddenly say, well, I'm going to invade. You're already there. This is somebody else. And we know that somebody else is. It's the United States.
Yeah,
it's
not
big
only that,
Satan.
Stuart.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not only that, Stuart, it can't be Israel, because Israel at this present time has mighty walls surrounding their entire country everywhere.
Yes, and we don't. And this is an attack upon the United States. And if I was a Russian general, that's exactly what I would do, because who would come to the defense of Israel? That is very powerful. It's the United States. So you neutralize the United States. Jeremiah talks about that. Isaiah talks about it. The book of Revelation talks about it. So when we see that happen, if we're still around and the church has not been removed, look out, because missiles are going to come in and hit us and take us out. I just wish people would study a little more and cross-compare, connect the dots, but they won't, and they deny who America is all the time, and nothing I can do about it. They can believe whatever they want to believe. I really don't care, but when the Lord has given you all of this information and you're denying it, there's no reason why he has to give you any more. Anyway, Larry, what else you got before we close up? We got about 2 minutes.
Okay. What's interesting, too, I wanted to mention or just add to the fact that it's reported that you mentioned a number of dates along November 11-11. In other words, 11-11,
yes.
Putin is scheduled to meet President Trump in Paris, France, for a close meeting. And also the 5th, November the 5th, it says U.S. reimpose, and this is from Times of Israel, U.S. reimposes all sanctions on Iran lifted under Obama's nuclear deal. Sanctions begin again November the 5th. So you're right, Stuart. November, we really got to watch out during these time frames.
Yep, and don't be surprised if the church is actually taken out. Don't be surprised if it isn't. We don't really know. We're just going to have to watch and monitor, like the Lord said, heads up, keep watching. And, you know, if you haven't prepared, prepare, because we're going to go into a time of upheaval and trouble. It doesn't matter whether there's a red wave in the election, because if there is, and many people are prophesying there will be, can you imagine what the left is going to do? They are going to go livid. And they will not stop. They will do whatever it takes to bring Trump and Pence out and take them down. And we are in the middle of a war already. It's a revolution. It just hasn't gone hot yet, but very soon it's going to go hot. So arm yourselves, take care of yourselves, pray always that the Lord finds you worthy. Anyway, good night, folks, and thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on, and we'll bring an update over the weekend if things warrant, and it looks like they might. Anyway, good night, everyone. Take care.